Chapter 4. The Disappearance of Mr. Davenheim. Our friend Inspector Jabb of Scotland Yard was coming for tea. Poirot and I were sitting round the tea table waiting for him. Poirot had straightened the cups and saucers on the table. He had also breathed on the metal teapot and polished it with a silk handkerchief. The kettle was boiling, and there was some chocolate on a small plate. We heard a knock on the door downstairs. A few minutes later, Jabb entered the room. "I hope I'm not late," he said. "I was chatting with Miller, the detective who is in charge of the Davenheim case." For the last 3 days, the papers had been full of the strange disappearance of Mr. Davenheim. He was the senior partner of Davenheim and Salmon, the well-known banking company. He had left his house on Saturday and had not been seen since then. "I can't believe that people can disappear nowadays," I said. Poirot looked at me. "What do you mean by disappear, my friend?" he said. "What kind of disappearance are you talking about?" "Are there different kinds of disappearances?" I laughed. Jabb smiled. Poirot frowned. "Of course there are. There are three kinds. First, the voluntary disappearance. Second, the loss of memory case. And third, murder and the disposal of the body. Do you think they are all impossible to do?" "I think so. You might lose your memory, but someone will recognize you eventually. And bodies don't just disappear. They are found sooner or later. Similarly, the person who disappears voluntarily will be found soon. We have wireless telegraphy, seaports and railway stations and newspapers. He cannot escape from civilization." "My friend, you make one error," said Poirot. "A man who decides to kill another man or make himself disappear can become very smart. He could beat the police using intelligence, talent and careful planning." "But not you," said Jabb, winking at me. "He couldn't beat you, Monsieur Poirot." Poirot tried to look modest. "Me too. Why not? I look at problems with science and mathematics. But the young detectives don't use them nowadays." Jabb smiled. "I don't know," he said. "Detective Miller is a smart man. He will look at every footprint and every crumb. He's got eyes that see every detail. These things are all good, but most details are unimportant. 102 are vital. You must rely on the brain, the little grey cells. The senses mislead. One must look for the truth within, not without." "Monsieur Poirot, are you saying that you could solve a case without moving from your chair?" "Yes, I am. If the facts are given to me, I can do it." Jabb was excited. "I bet you can't find Mr. Davenheim, dead or alive, in a week. I'll give you £5 if you can find him." Poirot thought. "Well, all right, my friend. I accept. Now give me the facts." Jabb began explaining. "Last Saturday, as always, Mr. Davenheim took the 12:40 train from Victoria to Chingside. His country house is in Chingside. After lunch, he walked around the garden and gave instructions to the gardeners. Everybody says that he looked normal. After tea, he went into his wife's room and told her that he was going to walk to the village and post some letters. He also said that a person called Mr. Lowen was coming for a business meeting. If Lowen came before he returned, he told his wife to show him into the study. Mr. Davenheim left the house by the front door, walked down the drive and out of the gate. He was never seen again. Interesting, said Poirot. A nice little problem. Please continue. About 15 minutes later, a tall dark man with a thick black moustache rang the front door bell. He said that he had an appointment with Mr. Davenheim. He said his name was Lowin, so he was shown into the study. Nearly an hour passed. Mr. Davenheim did not return. Finally, Mr. Lowin said that he could not wait any longer because he had to catch the train back to town. Mrs. Davenheim apologized for her husband's absence. Mr. Lowin left. I see. And then? Said Poirot. Well, Mr. Davenheim did not come back. Early on Sunday morning, the police were informed. Mr. Davenheim had disappeared. He had not been to the post office. He had not been seen passing through the village. Nobody had seen him taking the train at the station. His own car was still in the garage. If he had hired a car to pick him up, the driver would have told the police, because there is a big reward for information. One more thing. There was a small race at Enfield, which is 5 miles away. So the village was crowded. Nobody would have noticed him in the crowd if he had walked to that station. But his photograph and full description have been printed in every newspaper since then. Nobody has given any information about him. Is that all? Asked Poirot. Well, no. On Monday, something extraordinary happened. The police discovered that the safe in Mr. Davenheim's study was broken into. The windows of the room were closed tightly on the inside. It is possible that the burglary was committed on Saturday, but nobody noticed it until Monday. I see, said Poirot. Well, is Mr. Lowin arrested? Not yet, said Jab, but he's under inspection. Poirot nodded his head. What was taken from the safe? The junior partner of the company and Mrs. Davenheim have been helping us with that. It seems that there was a large amount of money and bonds in the safe. Also, all of Mrs. Davenheim's jewels were kept in there. Mr. Davenheim loved to buy her jewellery and had given her an expensive gem almost every month in the recent years. I see, said Poirot thoughtfully. What about Lowin? What was his business with Davenheim that evening? Well, the two men did not get along well. Lowin won some money from Davenheim in the market several times, but it seems that they seldom or never met face to face. Their appointment was about a business in South America. Did Davenheim have money in South America? I think so. Mrs. Davenheim said that he spent last autumn in Buenos Aires. Were there any problems in his home life? Well, his home life was quite peaceful. Mrs. Davenheim is a nice woman, but not very smart. Then the solution to the mystery is not there. Did Mr. Davenheim have any enemies? He had many financial rivals. I'm sure there are many people that lost money because of him. But no one would hate him enough to kill him. If they had, where is the body? Exactly. As Hastings says, bodies eventually appear. Also, on Saturday, one of the gardeners saw a figure going around to the side of the house toward the rose garden. The study has a door to the rose garden. Mr. Davenheim frequently entered and left the house that way. But the man was quite far away, and he does not know if the figure was Mr. Davenheim or not. Also, he does not remember the exact time. It must have been before 6, because the gardeners stopped working at 6. And when did Mr. Davenheim leave the house? Around 5:30. What is there beyond the rose garden? A lake. Is there a boathouse? Yes, two boats are kept there. Are you thinking of suicide, Monsieur Poirot? Inspector Miller is getting the water pumped out tomorrow to look for a body. That's the kind of man he is. Poirot smiled and turned to me. Hastings, please give me that copy of the Daily Megaphone. There is a very clear photograph there of the missing man. I found the paper and gave it to him. Poirot studied the face carefully. He said. He had long and wavy hair, a full moustache and pointed beard, and bushy eyebrows. Eyes dark? Yes. Hair and beard turning grey? The detective nodded his head. Well, Monsieur Poirot, what are you going to say about it all? It is not so clear, is it? Not clear at all. Jab looked pleased. And I am hopeful that I will solve it, said Poirot calmly. What? It is a good sign when a case is not clear. If something is very clear, mistrust it. It means that someone has made it very clear. Jab shook his head. I will shut my eyes and think, said Poirot. Well, you've got a week to think about it, said Jab. And you will inform me about any new findings. Certainly. Jab said he had to leave. I walked him to the door. I will win the bet easily, he said. I agreed with a smile. I was still smiling when I came back to the room. Oh, very good, said Poirot. You make fun of me, don't you? You do not trust my grey cells? Well, let us discuss this little problem. There are one or two interesting points. The lake, I said. The boathouse, he said. I looked at Poirot. He was smiling in a mysterious way. We did not hear from Jab until 9 o'clock the following evening. As he walked in, I could tell from his face that he had some news. Well, my friend, said Poirot, do not tell me that you have found the body in the lake, because I will not believe you. We haven't found the body, but we did find the clothes he was wearing that day. Any other clothes missing from the house? No, his valet is quite sure. The rest of his clothes are in the house. But there's more. We've arrested Lowen. One of the maids says that she saw Lowen walking towards the study through the rose garden about 6:15. That is about 10 minutes before he left the house. What does Lowen say about that? First, he denied that he had left the study, but the maid was sure. Later, he said that he had forgotten going out to look at an interesting rose. And there's other evidence against him. Mr. Davenheim wore a diamond ring on the little finger of his right hand. That ring was sold in London on Saturday night. A man called Billy Kellett did it. He's already known to the police. He sold the ring, got drunk with the money, attacked a policeman and was arrested. I went to see him with Inspector Miller. Well, what did he tell you? He was at Enfield Races on Saturday. He had a bad day and lost a lot of money. He was walking along the road to Chingside. He sat down by the road for a rest. Then he noticed a man coming along the road to the village. A gentleman with dark skin and a big moustache. Kellett was sitting behind a heap of stones, so the man did not notice him. He looked around and then he took a small object from his pocket and threw it over the hedge. Then he went towards the station. After he was gone, Kellett picked up the object. It was Mr. Davenheim's ring. I see, said Poirot. Well, of course, that is Kellett's story. Lowin completely denies it. We cannot rely on a man like Kellett. It is possible that he met Davenheim and robbed and murdered him. Poirot shook his head. That is not possible, my friend, he said. Firstly, he had no way of getting rid of the body. The police would have found it by now. Secondly, he sold the ring without fear. Thirdly, such small thieves are rarely murderers. Fourthly, he has been in prison since Saturday, but he has given a very good description of Lowin. Jab nodded his head. You may be right, but a jury won't pay attention to the evidence of a man like Kellett. Why did Lowin not find a cleverer way of getting rid of the ring? Well, if the ring were found in the neighbourhood, it could be said that Davenheim had dropped it, said Poirot. But why remove it from the body? I cried. There might be a reason for that, said Jab. Just beyond the lake, 3 minutes away, there is a lime kiln. Oh my God, I cried. The lime which destroyed the body would not destroy the metal off the ring. So maybe he had to remove the ring from the body and get rid of it. Yes. That explains everything, I said. What a horrible crime. We both turned and looked at Poirot. He was in deep thinking. We waited for a while for him to speak. At last, he turned to Jab. My friend, do you know if Mr. and Mrs. Davenheim occupied the same bedroom? Jab laughed out loud. Monsieur Poirot, I thought you were going to say something important. I don't know the answer to your question. Could you find out? Asked Poirot. Oh, certainly. If you really want to know. Thank you, my friend. Poirot seemed to have forgotten us both. Jap shook his head sadly at me and left the room. Poirot was in a daydream, so I took a sheet of paper and took notes. Finally, he came back from his daydream. What are you doing, my friend? He asked. I was noting down the main points of the case. Do you want me to read them? Please. 1. All the evidence shows that Lowin was the man who opened the safe. 2. Lowin had some kind of hatred towards Davenheim. 3. At first, he lied that he had never left the study. 4. If we take Billy Kellett's story as true, we can easily focus on Lowin. Poirot looked at me with pity and shook his head. My poor friend, you do not have the talent. Your logic is false. How? Let's go over your 4 points. 1. Mr. Lowin came for a business meeting. He could not know that he would get the chance to open the safe. He could not know that Mr. Davenheim would be absent and that he would be alone in the study. Maybe he saw the chance and then decided to open the safe. But what about the tools? City gentlemen do not carry housebreakers' tools. You need more than a penknife to cut into that safe. Well, what about number 2? You say Lowin had some hatred towards Mr. Davenheim. Lowin had once or twice defeated him in the past. But normally you do not hate someone you defeat. It was probably Mr. Davenheim who had negative feelings towards Lowin. But what about number 3? He lied about never having left the study. He may have been frightened. Remember, the missing man's clothes had been discovered in the lake. And the 4th point? I agree with you on the 4th point. If Kellett's story is true, we can easily focus on Lowin. That makes the case very interesting. Then I was right about one fact. Yes, but you have overlooked the 2 most important points. 1. Mr. Davenheim has recently had an interest in buying jewellery. 2. He went to Buenos Aires last autumn. Poirot, you are joking. I am very serious. At 11 o'clock the next day, a telegram came from Jab. Husband and wife have slept in different rooms since last winter. Aha, cried Poirot. And now we are in mid-June. All is solved. I stared at him. I hope you do not have any money in the Bank of Davenheim and Salmon, my friend, he said. No, I said. Why? Because I would advise you to withdraw it before it is too late. Why? What do you expect? I expect a big crash in a few days. Give me a pencil and paper, please. I will write to Jab. Withdraw any money you have in the Bank of Davenheim and Salmon. He will be shocked. He will not understand it. He was right. The next day, every paper had a headline about the shocking crash of the bank. As we were having breakfast, the door opened and Jab rushed in. In one hand, he was holding a newspaper, and in the other, Poirot's telegram. How did you know, Monsieur Poirot? He asked. Poirot smiled. Ah, my friend, it was obvious. From the beginning, I thought that the burglary was an important point. There were jewels, ready money, and bonds in the safe. Who was all this for? Well, it seemed clear that Monsieur Davenheim had prepared it for himself. He had been buying a lot of jewellery recently. He bought jewels with the money he made. He probably put imitation jewels into the safe and put the real ones in a safe place under another name. His plan was completed. He made an appointment with Mr. Lowen, emptied the safe, told his wife to show his guest into the study, and walked out of the house. Where did he go? Poirot stopped and took a boiled egg. He frowned. It is really annoying that every egg is a different size. Never mind the eggs, said Jab impatiently. Tell us where Davenheim went. Oh, well, he went to his hiding place. Monsieur Davenheim is a very smart man. Do you know where he is hiding? Certainly. It is very clever. Then please tell us. Poirot collected the pieces of eggshell from his plate and put them in the egg cup. Then he smiled and looked at us kindly. Come, my friends, you are intelligent men. Ask yourselves this question. If I were this man, where would I hide? Hastings, what do you say? Well, I said, I think I would not escape. I'd stay in London and travel by tubes and buses. There's safety in a crowd. Poirot turned to Jab. I don't agree, said Jab. I would go away at once. I'd get on the yacht waiting for me and go to the other side of the world. We both looked at Poirot. What do you say, monsieur? For a moment he was silent. Then he smiled. My friends, if I were hiding from the police, do you know where I would hide? In a prison. What? You are searching for Monsieur Davenheim because you want to put him in prison, but you never look there. What do you mean? You said that Madame Davenheim was not a very smart woman, but if you took her to prison to show her Billy Kellett, she would recognize him. He has short hair and no beard or moustache. But a woman always knows her husband. Billy Kellett? But he's known to the police. Davenheim is a clever man. He prepared his alibi a long time ago. Last autumn, he was not in Buenos Aires. He was creating the character of Billy Kellett. He was in prison for 3 months. He was playing for a large fortune. But there was only one problem. Yes, well, When he returned home, he had to wear a false beard and wig. He had to sleep with a beard. He could not continue to share a room with his wife. When you told me that they had been sleeping in different rooms for 6 months, I was sure. The gardener who said that he had seen him going around to the side of the house was right. Davenheim went to the boathouse, put on his poor man clothes and dropped the other clothes in the lake. Then he carried out his plan. He sold the ring and then attacked a policeman. He was able to get into prison, where he would be safe. "It's impossible," said Jab. "Ask his wife," said Poirot, smiling. The next day, at breakfast, a letter came from Jab. Poirot opened it, and a £5 note fell out. "Ah, but what will I do with this money? I am sad. It was too easy to solve the crime. Poor Jab. Ah, I have an idea. The three of us will have a little dinner. I feel better now."